This is Tatooine Sons, a proud member of the Star Wars Commonwealth Podcast Network. Be sure to listen to the galaxy's greatest Star Wars podcasts, including Talk Star Wars, Tumbling Sabers Podcast, Generation X-Wing, Rogue Squadron Podcast, Skyhoppers Podcast, The Nerd Room, San Diego Sabers Radio Podcast, and Less Than 12 Parsecs Podcast. Visit StarWarsCommonwealth.com and take your first step into a larger world.
Welcome, Star Wars fans, to episode 29 of Tatooine Sons. This week, we celebrate Father's Day by each choosing who we think is the best dad in the Star Wars galaxy. Samuel the Hutt will share his thoughts on the new game, Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, and I'll give my review of the latest issue, Darth Vader, Dark Lord of the Sith. In honor of my dad, I now share his most spoken Star Wars quote, "Do or do not, there is no try." It's time for Tatooine Sons.
The Force is strong in my family.
I am your father.
I am a Jedi, like my father before me.
Welcome, Star Wars fans. This is Tatooine Sons, your weekly look into all things Star Wars. From the unique perspective of a father sharing his love for the amazing space fantasy saga with his two sons. I am BB Nate, and I'm joined first by my brother, Samuel the Hutt.
Achoo Star Wars fans, thanks for tuning in. And if you're not a Star Wars fan, then you probably didn't have a cool dad like us.
Well, I mean, some people might have had cool dads that weren't Star Wars fans, but maybe not.
Not as cool.
What's that?
Not as cool.
Not as cool? Well, thanks.
Not as cool.
How are you guys doing today?
Good.
Good.
You?
No, I'm great. I'm awesome. You forgot that you're next, Nate. You gotta finish the introductions. Hi, I'm and you can't have Star Wars without crazy father figures.
Like us.
What's the intro?
You can't have Star Wars without bizarre father figures.
Yeah, go
on
for it.
On that note, here's my dad's bow tie Jedi guy.
Alrighty then.
Alright, let's just start.
We got a little distracted. I moved into talking and you guys threw you off a little bit. Sorry about that. So it's a happy Father's Day weekend, and which is awesome because you guys are awesome. We'll talk about that in a minute. We're supposed to talk about something else. First, I want to just get into, I'm doing great, by the way, BB Nate.
Great.
Thank you guys for my amazing Father's Day gifts that we did early. It's Saturday. But since Sunday is going to be just completely consumed with stuff at church because I'm helping to lead the music and everything else, we decided to do Father's Day stuff today. And I got some Bach dice to hang from my rearview mirror on my Mustang convertible. Pretty cool. Yeah.
And then you got...
It's true. All of it.
Yeah. And then I got season 3 of Star Wars Rebels with our favorite episode. Finally! We've been talking about it on this podcast since like day one.
That's true.
I finally got it. We can watch Twin Sons whenever we want.
Happy beeps.
Absolutely happy beeps. So it's been an awesome week for our podcast, guys.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't even begin to describe how overwhelmed we were yesterday when I started looking at some statistics from the podcast feed on Block Talk Radio. And I saw that on Wednesday, we had just on Wednesday alone, people, not on the whole week, just one day. On Wednesday, we had over 1,300 downloads or listens of our podcast. It was absolutely amazing. What do you guys think about that?
I'm floored. I don't know how that happened.
Yeah, somebody got excited about our podcast and people started listening, I guess.
Yeah, so. Because we were averaging like 300,
400. 400, yeah. It dropped a lot. In a week. Not in a day. In a week. 300, 400 a week. And on Wednesday alone, we had over 1,300 downloads. Maybe it was because Mark Hamill liked a tweet where we talked about Mark Hamill liking a tweet. Yeah. Anyway. I don't know. Maybe people like our podcast because of that. And then BB Nate on for the whole week, we had 3,000 downloads of our podcast. What do you think about that, BB Nate?
That's crazy. I don't know what to say about that. That's little bit more than usual.
Yeah, it's about three times what we were averaging at our high point on our downloads when it was sort of a newer podcast and the whole Ryan Johnson Turbis thing happened. And
Turbis.
So anyway, by the way, people are not aware that we have Turbis shirts. Some people were asking about that. And if you go to Tatooine Sons, S-O-N-S, TatooineSons.com, you can buy Turbis mugs, phone covers, t-shirts. I don't care if you want to put a big print of Turbis on the wall of your house, like a framed print. We can sell you one of those too. But anyway, when Turbis was at its high point, then everybody, we had about 1,000 downloads a week going on. We had 3,000. Actually, when I calculated it all out, it was all in my head when I came up with the 3,000. It was over 3,500 for that last week. Pretty amazing. What do you think about that, guys?
That's a lot of listens for us.
It was absolutely a lot of listens. And on top of that, last Saturday we got to do something that was just really amazing. Samuel, what did we get to do last Saturday night?
Well, we got to hang out with Alex and Molly from Stars Explained, the YouTube channel. We hung out with them and a bunch of other YouTubers at the Scum and Villainy Cantina in L.A.
Yeah, what'd you think about the Scum and Villainy Cantina, BB Nate?
It was weird, but it was cool.
What was weird about it?
Everything, really. I thought it was just going to be Star Wars, but it has Star Trek and Alien and all that weird stuff. And then,
it had the right vibe.
Yeah, yes, it was sure. More just for fandom in general.
Like geeky, you know, geek fandom.
But yeah. I thought it was cool. I loved the place.
Too. Yeah, and we had like Ken Knapsack and Joseph Scrimshaw from Force Center. We got to hang out with them for a little bit. We got to hang out with guys from Black Series Rebels with that, which they did that amazing video that came out on Monday, about almost 10 minutes long of people just split seconds saying things of encouragement and thanks to Kelly Marie Tran, letting her know she's a part of the Star Wars family. We love her. That was pretty awesome. And they put that together, so we got to hang out with them. There was a bunch of people there. It was packed. It was a lot of fun. So that helped. I think that was awesome because of just being able to hang out with them and think about our podcast and how we can make it even better. So we're working on some things with that. That was pretty cool. Let's see. Anything else? Anything else going on right now?
Father's Day.
Father's Day. I know. It's like one of my favorite days of the year. I always get Star Wars stuff on Father's Day. Last year I got season 2 of Star Wars Rebels, which was pretty awesome. Oh, we forgot to mention somebody that was at Scum and Villainy Cantina. I thought about that. The creator of the hashtag on Twitter, Porg Nation, Ash Crossan.
Oh, yeah.
And so she got to hang out. Yeah, Turbis was excited about that. We got pictures of that. She gave both you guys big hugs, and that was pretty awesome. Excited. She was awesome. Yeah. So anyway, it's Father's Day. So I woke up this morning. And on Saturdays, I always drive BB and 8, and I drive in my little Mustang convertible, my 2008 Pride and Joy Mustang convertible. We drive over to Chick-fil-A, which is only like a mile from our house, and we get breakfast from Chick-fil-A. And so we went out to the garage to do that today, and lo and behold, hanging from my rearview mirror were the Sabacc dice from Solo: A Star Wars.
It's true. All of it.
I was blown away. I'm so excited. So Nathan, BB Nate, how did I handle that when we drove? What did I do?
You blasted Corellia Chase and like felt like you're Han Solo during the whole thing.
I put the top down on the convertible, plugged in the Solo: A Star Wars Story soundtrack, cranked up Corellia Chase, and drove there like I was Han Solo. It was a lot of fun. I think I'm going to probably be doing that just about all the time when I don't have anybody in the car with me, because it was, you know, if you guys were there, it'd be a little bit embarrassing, but
that's not how the Force works.
I don't know. I'm just on a Han mood today. So, okay. Whatever. So
what are our plans for today?
What are our plans for
today? For our Father's Day plans.
So Saturday, so we're doing Father's Day plan stuff today. So we're going to record a podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then after that, we're going to look at a couple houses because we need to find a little bit bigger place to live. This was a temporary dwelling for us when we moved to California, and we're hoping to find something a little bit larger that we can move in. So we're going to go look at a couple houses because if mama ain't happy,
ain't nobody happy.
So we're going to go look at houses, and then we're having my mom's famous homemade chicken nuggets. Mm-hmm. Like, from scratch, by the way, people. You have no idea how amazing these things are. Am I right, guys?
Right. They're like... Yeah, we can't describe them.
People, we invite people over, and their first meal when they come over to have dinner with us is Mom's chicken nuggets, and they all want to take a bunch home, and they can't even imagine, describe it. Yeah, it's awesome. So we're going to have that. And then for dinner, we're having Mom's famous chicken noodle thingamajig. I don't know if it's a soup or whatever. It's chicken and noodles. It's amazing. It's my favorite, one of my favorites as well. What are we going to do between that, guys?
Don't know.
I can't decide. You tell me what we should do. There's a part of me that would like to go see Solo again. Okay. I think that would be fun. Or the other part of me is would like to watch Force Awakens and Last Jedi back to back. Which do you guys want to do?
It's Father's Day.
Well, yeah.
So whatever you want
to
do.
I know. This isn't... Okay, so we'll have to figure it out. I'll let you know
on next... Let's watch Force Awakens, a movie where Han Solo gets killed by his son for Father's Day.
Well...
Yeah. We did that last year.
That one time, I think.
We did that last year. Why don't we want to watch it? Let's go see Solo.
We should see Solo.
You guys want to see Solo again?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll talk to Mom about that after the podcast, see what she thinks. on that. All right. I guess that's about it for the start. I do want to mention a couple of amazing people, three amazing people that gave us reviews this week. Our first reviewer was Matt Everywhere from Australia.
Happy babies.
That's a good one for a review. This is what he gave us, 5 stars. It says, a Star Wars podcast through the lens of a parent sharing this saga with their children is a fantastic concept. Well delivered and thoughtful.
Aww.
That was good. I appreciate that. Thank you, Matt from Australia. Matt Everywhere from Australia. And then we have, I like this person's
name
thingamajig, whatever it is, from iTunes. Pudding Puff 1. That just sounds fun.
That's fun to say.
It's fun to say. Everybody say it. 1, 2, 3. Pudding Puff 1. All right. Yeah. Pudding Puff 1 from Australia. No, wait. Yep. That was Matt. This one's from the United States of America. US of A. The title was, I wish we had more Star Wars podcasts like this. Now, you know, I think that we should see what he thinks that means. So, self-explanatory title, Tatooine Sons, a Star Wars podcast. But honestly, the kids' enthusiasm is infectious. It's like a virus. Cool. You guys are like patient zero of a virus of Star Wars positivity and fandom.
Good.
Yeah, that's awesome. And good content, too, is what he says. So thank you.
That's kind of...
That was 5 stars. And then we have... It says, by Lancet 1 from the UK.
So you got to read this in a British accent.
I can't do that. That won't happen. Hope has arrived. It's 4 stars, but it's from our buddy Neil Lowry. And so I'm pretty sure, knowing Neil and his absolute love for us and his positivity and how I've never heard him say anything less than 100% positive, I'm pretty sure that it just the star didn't get moved to all the way to the 5th spot and he
That's
didn't realize
to me
it.
Before.
That can happen. Yeah.
He's really not happy.
Yeah, I mean, like, he went from 5 stars to 4 stars. But this is what he says. Hope has arrived for the soul, for the heart, for the mind.
Aww.
I see these as the 3 basic tenets of Tatooine Sons. And, of course, giving positivity. May the force be with you, Neil Lowry. So that's awesome. So, all right, you guys ready to get into today's episode? We're running a couple minutes behind on our topics, so I'm going to try to move things forward. Let's talk about our first segment, which is last week's podcast poll of the week. In our previous episode, we talked a lot about Maul and his surprise appearance in Solo, a Star Wars story. And so we took to Twitter and asked you, what did you think about Maul? We had over 300 votes, but one answer ran away from the pack. So here are the results from last week's podcast poll of the week. We use Turbis a lot on the show.
Because he's Turbis.
So here's what the answers were. We had 4% of our 345 total votes. 4% still think he's dead.
What?
Apparently they haven't seen the Clone Wars, they haven't seen Rebels, and they haven't seen Solo, a Star Wars story.
Or
read any of the comics.
Or been on Card Trader.
We greatly appreciate your participation in our Star Wars podcast poll of the week.
It's true.
Maybe you're not really up to snuff on your Star Wars knowledge if you don't know at this point that he's
alive.
Okay. Now, I can see this. I can see this being a reasonable response. 8% said thanks for the spoiler. That may mean that they still know that Darth Maul is alive from the Clone Wars or from Rebels and things. They just didn't know he was going to show up at the end of the Solo Star Wars story. Which is
very bad. I feel bad about that.
Yeah. But after 2 weeks of being in the theater and this movie getting as much positive reviews as it has from not just critics but from fandom, if you haven't seen it yet, you need to go see it, and maybe this will motivate you to do that. All right, 11% stated they aren't sure how he fits into the story. What do you think about that, BB Nate?
Not 100% sure what that really
is. I don't think that they're talking about... When I put that as one of the options, I wasn't meaning not sure how he fits into Solo, but meaning how he fits into this time period, because we thought he was on Dathomir, he was on Malachor at the beginning when we see him again in Rebels. We don't know what happens to him after between Clone Wars and Rebels. So trying to figure out how Maul fits in the story. What do you think about that?
I think that it's really that they just really wanted to get more Darth Maul backstory because he is a very famous character. He's kind of like the Boba Fett of the prequel trilogy.
Another truth bomb from BB Nate. Yeah, okay. I agree with that. And, yeah, he's the Boba Fett of the prequel
trilogy. And so they want a little bit more backstory since they're... People are wanting Boba Fett movies. They're thinking, let's figure out how to give Darth Maul a little bit more backstory. We saw him on Malachor in Rebels, but we didn't know that he was even a crime lord. And so that gave people something to talk about and to be excited for in the future.
Yeah, awesome. What did you think about that, Samuel Hutt, as far as how he fits into the story?
Yeah, I mean, I'm still waiting to figure out how he fits in. I was just glad to see him because he's an awesome character, especially if you've watched the Clone Wars and the Rebels. That really makes him a lot more cool than, you know, fighting Obi-Wan and getting cut in half. So, I mean, I'm very curious to see where they go with this. They could go down a lot of avenues. I have a feeling I'm the one you stated last week.
Yeah, I made a bold prediction about the way that they should start Episode 9 after we watched The Last Jedi, which we won't go into on this one, but I made that after The Last Jedi. And then after Solo, I made another bold prediction. And my prediction is the next standalone movie will be Boba Fett. And it will be the Hutts and Boba Fett, the Hutt cartel and Boba Fett in a confrontation with Crimson Dawn and Maul and Kira that ends up on Tatooine. And we get a surprise, but it won't be because if you listen to Tatooine Sons of Star Wars podcast, I predicted it. It won't be a surprise for you. They're going to have a special Kenobi cameo, which will lead into a Kenobi movie. And
MCU feel.
Yeah, it'll feel like the MCU. I think that they're going to turn the Star Wars stories into the MCU.
People saying that's not work. I think that would be perfect for Star Wars.
I do too.
I feel like you got to be careful with it.
Yes, you do have to be careful. You can't release three movies.
Well, that and you can't have it feel too much like the MCU.
No,
yeah.
No.
Otherwise, what's the point?
Yep.
So.
Yep, I think it's going to be good. So, and then the vote that got the highest votes, like by a mile, is 77%. Which I think is ironic.
I thought the same
thing. Because 1977 is when Star Wars came out. And so 77% of fans said that they absolutely loved Maul in this movie. Give me more. Which I'm of the same opinion. I want more Maul. I think it would be awesome. BB Nate, you think so too?
I agree.
Samuel the Hutt?
Yes.
Awesome. So here's some of the comments that you guys put on that. We have lots of comments on our polls. We love it when you guys comment on our polls because it gives us more interaction with you and it helps us, honestly, it helps make planning our show a little easier because we have something to talk about. So thank you for doing that. So Stormtrooper Pete is one of our Patreon supporters. He's pretty awesome. He was one of our 10 questions on Tatooine Tuesday podcast, I guess, as well. Stormtrooper Pete, now, I'm going to give you a full-on shout-out. Your Twitter handle is at Stormtrooper Pete. So it's Storm without the O. I guess Stormtrooper Pete was already taken, or maybe you just forgot the O.
Maybe there wasn't enough space.
Maybe not. Yeah, Stormtrooper Pete. So STRM Trooper Pete. Said, I liked this movie, but that scene, obviously the Maul scene, literally had me and my son out of our seat. I grabbed my son beside me and shook him. That left me salivating for more. I think that we felt the same way. It's kind of pretty similar to our reaction on that. BB-8? Yeah. Okay. All right, here we've got Aaron Quinton. Aaron's one of our newer Twitter followers. He's only been following us for a few weeks now. Had a little bit of interaction with him over the past couple of weeks. His Twitter handle is at Aaron. That's two A's if you don't know how to spell Aaron with an A. A-A-R-O-N. And then his last name is Skrzewski. S-K-U-R-Z-E-W-S-K-I. Aaron Skrzewski said, honestly, it was one of my favorite moments in any Star Wars movie. What do you think about that, Samuel the Hutt?
Yeah, it's pretty high up there for me, too. I mean, there's so many iconic scenes in Star Wars. You know, there's... I mean, you can... I classify them into, like, either combat, you know, amazing fight scenes, or just iconic scenes. This is definitely up there with the iconic scenes.
Yeah. Put it on par. What would you say is the most iconic scene in all of Star Wars?
Oh, you know, I Am Your Father.
I Am Your Father.
For sure. Because everyone... Sorry. Everyone knows what that is.
Dropping headphones. You know?
No. Even if you haven't seen Star Wars, you pretty much heard something about
that. Right, absolutely. Okay, so you put it pretty close? I put it... as far as surprise factor, it's pretty big.
Pretty big reveal, yeah.
And you've got I Am Your Father. You've got Leia's Luke's sister.
Yeah.
And I can't... Do we have another one that we...
Not really.
I mean... Darth Maul.
Yeah, I mean, maybe killing Han in Force Awakens.
Yeah, but...
It's not iconic.
It's like one of those moments.
Yeah, I mean, it's a turning point.
Okay.
There may be Luke dying.
Yeah. That's a pretty iconic moment. That whole battle scene is pretty iconic. But that's one... That goes to the battle scenes element that you were talking about earlier.
Right, it could be a little bit of both, so... Yeah. Awesome. Anyway, yeah, definitely.
Like Yoda in Attack of the Clones with Count Dooku is a battle scene that's iconic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. What about you, Sam? BB Nate, what did you think? Do you agree with Aaron's, one of his favorite moments in any Star Wars movie? Would you put it up there?
Yes, I do. I put it up there. I wasn't expecting it at all because first time we see him after Phantom Menace is Malachor dead beat.
No, after the Clone Wars. We see him all after the Clone Wars. Yeah.
Yes. After the Clone Wars, we see him dead beat and like old and not really knowing what to do, crazy, that type of stuff. And now we see he's ran a crime syndicate.
Yeah.
One of the biggest ones to be feared in the galaxy. So
pretty cool.
You got to think about this, too. This is the only other time since Phantom Menace that we've seen him in a live-action film.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he's live-action in Phantom Menace, and now he's live-action again in Solo.
That's pretty
And good. Will be live-action in the Boba Fett movie.
Okay, got it.
I promise you that. Me and Kathleen Kennedy, we're tight right now, so...
yeah, right.
Oh, really?
Not really, but... No.
Yeah. We do know our...
Impressive.
Our...
Every word in that sentence was wrong.
Absolutely.
We do know our Star Wars canon, though.
We do. We were watching some behind-the-scenes Star Wars Rebels Season 3 clips from the Blu-ray, and we're like, we knew that. We predicted that.
Like,
they said the thing about Thrawn and Eli Vanto being like, or not Eli Vanto, what's the bad guy? Knight?
Moriarty.
No, well, it's the bad guy in the Thrawn novel.
Night Swan?
Night Swan, yeah. That whole Thrawn Night Swan interaction in the novel being similar to Sherlock Holmes and Moriarty.
Yeah, and Eli Vanto being very Watson.
And being very, yeah, very
We Watson. Predicted that.
Or we said it from the right, when we read Thrawn, we said that from the beginning. It felt like that. Because we're big Sherlock Holmes fans. We love the BBC series Sherlock.
Yeah.
We love the Robert Downey movies.
Another one coming out.
And there's another one coming out in about a year.
Yay!
I'm not here for that.
All right. All right, Star Wars Fanjoy, which their Twitter handle is pretty easy. It's Star Wars Fanjoy.
Wow.
Said, I squealed and clapped my hands like a child when he showed up.
I was freaking out.
Yeah, you were freaking out. Yeah, so I think that that's good. We love it when Star Wars helps people relive childhood moments. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. And then
it does that a lot.
It does, absolutely. And then Bree Britt, at Bree _Britt, said, I jumped out of my seat as soon as I heard Sam's voice, Sam Witwer. Woo! Which we talked about that a lot. That's pretty awesome. He's one of our favorite Star Wars celebrities, so to speak, just because... He's a fan at heart. We love the Force Unleashed game. We love his characterizations in Clone Wars and in Rebels. Mm-hmm. And he wished Samuel the Hutt a birthday on the day that Solo came out. And then we went to the theater and heard his voice. And we were like, what? We had to stick around and watch the
credits
to make sure it was Sam Witwer.
Yeah.
Was good.
I was like so wanting it to be, but I'm like, that would stink if it wasn't him.
I think that's when we all reacted too. Is when we heard and recognized that was Sam Witwer's voice. That's when I like my jaw just dropped and I like
I think I
covered
actually,
my mouth like no way.
If I remember correctly, I'm pretty sure I stood up when.
Yeah, I was. We were all flipping out.
I mean, I had a audible gasp. It was like,
like yeah. everybody like we're separated, and so like everybody in the middle between us was like, wait, what's
yeah,
going
all
on?
Three of us. Let's clarify what we meant. The three of us were separated because your friends from your birthday party were sitting in between each of us, you know, a bunch of us. Mm-hmm. So we lean forward, are freaking out, looking at each other down the row. When Sam's voice, we could hear his voice. That was awesome.
That was really fun.
All right. Well, that's it for the podcast poll of the week. Let's move on to a new segment that we're going to start putting in every week. This is one that you guys should not be looking at the documents for. The show notes.
I just saw the word Lego. That's
yeah.
It.
Okay. So it's called Hot Takes. So what we're going to be doing in this segment is basically I'm going to be reading off some latest Star Wars news that Samuel the Hutt and BB Nate have no idea about. And we're going to get their initial reaction as quick as possible. We're calling the segment Hot Takes. So there's been something interesting developing in Star Wars universe over the past week. Lego is taking us into Snoke's throne room. A new Sith has been canonized. Oh,
yeah.
And a little movie known as Episode 9 started filming. So let's get into Hot Takes.
This is not going to go the way you think.
All right, new Star Wars Lego sets are being released in the fall, including Snoke's throne room from with Rey and Kylo Ren, and
so it's gonna be like a whole
Praetorian
set.
Guards.
Can
yeah.
you like take Snoke's arms?
I don't know. I wonder if you could separate Snoke's spot top from his bottom.
I mean, here you can with Lego people.
I wonder. Oh, wouldn't it be cool if you press a button and a lightsaber pops out and slices him in half?
That'd be fun.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Here's some other sets: Anakin's Jedi Starfighter from the Clone Wars. When he's, you know,
wait, the
episodes
one?
2 and 3, yeah.
He already has that.
Oh, but I think not the prequel to the TIE Fighter one.
I don't think so. Yeah, I don't know.
It's got to be the pointy one because I already have the TIE Fighter one.
Yep, and then another set is going to be a new X-wing Starfighter. It's going to have Luke in it, but then and then I've got a typo in here, so it sounds like I'm trying to get all ghetto here, including or either ghetto or ghetto or somewhere from down in Alabama where the two of you were born, including.
Big Darklighter.
Yeah, including Biggs Darklighter.
There you go, Alex.
Is going to be in it. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Alex, you told us you love that's your favorite character.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He wants somebody to show up at Celebration and cosplay as a kid's version of Biggs Darklighter with a mustache, like Biggs. But anyway. What? A Jawa Sandcrawler, Lego Jawa Sandcrawler.
Big one?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I might be getting that one.
And Boba, so that's what I'm going to ask. Boba Fett Brickhead. So one of the Brickheads?
A Brickhead?
A Boba Fett
no
Brickhead.
No way, I got a Han Solo. I got to get that now.
All right, so this is what I'm going to ask you. Samuel, you're the big Lego fan. Here's Sam, explain to the world what Nathan does with Legos when he gets amazing sets.
He has two sets. The Quad Jumper from The Force Awakens, and then a First Order TIE Fighter from Christmas. He still has not built those things. I am very upset. I'm about to go up there after this and build them myself. It's painful.
I kind of like the idea of him leaving them in the box, though, because I think the collectible nature of them
that's
increases.
What's the point?
I'm okay with it. So, all right, so Sam, you're the Lego fan. Are you going to pick up any of those sets that I mentioned?
At least... How many were there?
There were five, but there was actually like 13.
Okay,
I just left off a bunch.
I'll get all the ones you mentioned.
Snoke's throne room, Anakin Starfighter.
I mean, Snoke's. Yeah. I'll get
maybe
Snoke's
not Anakin Starfighter.
You'll get Snoke's throne room,
and I'll actually build it if the lightsaber comes down.
If the lightsaber slices throne, Snoke in half.
Snoke in half.
Yeah. I hope it makes it like a pop sound.
It's a little dark for Lego if you think about it.
Well, I mean, even with a minifigure, like you could pop the arms. And
I know, but
off.
If you could press a button and a lightsaber pops out and slices it in half, that's probably a little darker.
A little
than
much, yeah. You know, definitely, probably, I mean, I bet
definitely,
you know,
probably.
Yeah.
Well, he always says those things.
Yeah, I know. It's okay.
The Sandcrawler, that's probably going to be a little pricey, yeah. But I want to get that one.
You still
got
to get Slave 1.
I
know he needs to get Slave 1.
Oh, yeah, I need to get Slave 1.
And definitely the Boba Fett Brickhead.
Oh, that's definitely.
Awesome. Okay, next segment, or next topic, or in the next hot take. There we go.
Next hot take.
There's a new Sith Lord in canon. His name is Darth Atreus. From our friends and new Twitter followers, Wikipedia. Thank you for following us on Twitter, Wikipedia. Yeah, they followed us. Absolutely. Wow. Darth Atreus was a male Sith who lived during the time when the Sith were plentiful and powerful. At some point after the Battle of Yavin, the smuggler Saena Staros, which is...
Sounds like Saena Solo.
It's Han's wife.
What?
It's Han's wife. They got married for a job.
I heard about that.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. In that one.
Yeah. So anyway, okay. So at some point after the Battle of Yavin, the smuggler Sanus Staros recovered his pair of crossguard lightsabers, similar to the one owned by Kylo Ren. And she took one to a crime lord on Hrodrik, whilst, that's a big word to put on Wikipedia, whilst selling the other to the Galactic Empire. BB Nate, what do you think about Darth Atreus?
Don't know quite yet.
All right.
Well, I know it's coming out in a comic. It's just I have no idea. It doesn't really explain much in the Darth Atreus.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to have much bearing on the story. I mean, he's cool from when the time the Sith were plentiful. That's got to be Old Republic era. Because that's when the Sith were, like, all over the place. Mm-hmm. Crossguard lightsabers, they're ancient. So that fits the story. I've got a feeling that one of those is going to end up in Kylo's hands somehow. I don't know if it's with the Crime Lord or the Empire one.
Well, that's an interesting idea. What do you think about that, BB Nate? Do you think that one of those crossguard lightsabers becomes Kylo Ren's lightsaber?
I think this may turn into a different comic series.
A Darth Atreus series or something?
Well, a mini series of that ties in to the pages of Star Wars.
Interesting.
Normally 3 issues mm-hmm. is what those are. Okay. So,
yeah, but I mean, as soon as I heard, as soon as you know, you explained that was his wife, air quotes there.
Han Solo's wife.
Right, Han Solo's wife. Right. And then I heard the crossguard lightsaber, I immediately thought Kylo one of those has got to end up with Ben.
Yeah, it does have a lot of Han connections there through Ben and Sanus.
I mean, I don't know how they would tie that in, but I mean, I feel like that's the most plausible avenue.
Sounds good. Last one of our hot takes for this week. This past Tuesday, John Boyega, who plays Finn in the Star Wars sequel trilogy. You guys, I think everybody listening to our podcast knows who John Boyega is.
Probably.
But just in case they don't, I felt like I needed to put that in there. John Boyega tweeted, EP9 loading. See ya. So filming has begun.
What?
On the climactic film of the sequel trilogy. And we mentioned last week that the working title for the film was changed from Black Diamond to Trixie. So the big question everyone's waiting to hear an answer to is, will Mark Hamill be back as Luke Skywalker?
He better be a freaking Force ghost, I swear.
BB Nate's nodding his head, shaking his head, nodding his head. What do you think? Use words. Use your words, BB Nate. Use your words. Okay.
Happy weeks.
I think we're going to get an I Am Your Father twist.
Huh? Who's he the father of?
Not that. Like a big twist.
Oh, you're saying
that level
high
of a
caliber.
Twist.
Yes.
Is he not dead?
No, he's not dead.
What happened?
So he's now like transporting himself through the Force.
That would be an amazing Force ability, by the way, to be able to.
We gotta get those. We gotta get that. Whoa. Jedi powers.
Yeah, except every time you do it, you lose your clothes.
So every time he just lost his robe, I think.
Yeah, he just lost his brain.
Okay, that's a little less weird. Otherwise,
like, you just
he teleports from the rock on Octu and shows up on the Millennium Falcon. We just don't know it yet. And he's buck naked because his clothes couldn't teleport.
Oh, hi, Leia. Oh, crap. My hand's gone, too.
Yeah, clink. Well, that's why his hand didn't clink.
Right. Although, that would, in all honesty, that would be a really cool Force power. I think he's dead. I think, but I want to see him as a Force ghost haunting. For lack of a better term, Kylo.
Like, yeah, see you around,
haunting
kid.
Kylo.
Right? That see you around, kid type thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You failed.
I mean, it's Mark Hamill, Luke Skywalker. You gotta have him in the last movie.
Well, they did add an element of sort of humor and sarcasm to Luke Skywalker in the Last Jedi mm-hmm. that would transition into him mocking Kylo Ren a little bit.
Yeah, so I feel like you can't close out the Star Wars saga without Luke.
Yeah.
It's all been Skywalker and Luke. You gotta have him in there at least a little bit.
Okay, well, we'll have to wait and see.
I hope we get, this is my last thing. I hope we get a Return of the Jedi scene at the end where we see maybe most of, if not all, of the Force ghosts or something at the end.
Quiet.
You know, to kind of like bring it all together or whatever to finish off the series. Sort of like how they did with
Qui-Gon, Kenobi, all of them.
I don't think Qui-Gon can be a Force ghost. He said he didn't complete that part of his training. Anyway. Oh, no, he did appear as a Force
ghost. He sure appeared as a Force ghost in the Clone Wars.
Yeah, as more
the Yoda arc.
Yeah, I want to see all of them.
Okay.
It'd be kind of funny.
That would make me very, very happy.
It would touch your heart.
I would. In a very special way. I would probably cry a little.
You'd have a little bit. You'd become a little misty.
I'd probably cry.
I'd tear up a little.
I'd probably actually start bawling right there in the theater.
All right. Okay. Well, now I'm hoping for it more than ever. All right. Next segment, BB Nate. This one's yours. Take it.
The latest issue of Darth Vader, Dark Lord of the Sith is finally out. Vader and Tarkin are on Mon Cala. Could they be heading straight into a trap? Here's this week's Star Wars comic book update for 2018.
Week. This week? Okay. That's what happens when you go off script there at the end.
A little bit.
Okay. All right.
Well, Thrawn Part 5 is out.
Yeah.
Haven't read that one yet. But
not yet.
I should probably do that.
Okay,
probably.
What's the description, BB Nate?
The rise of the Grand Admiral continues. Thrawn's obsession and pursuit of the mysterious crime lord Night Swan has led him to Bataan. Okay.
All right.
But what his aide, Eli Vanto, hopes will be the final stand between the Empire and its enemies soon turned out to be nothing more than a trap.
It's a trap!
And a sign, Vanto, is the
base. Ensign. It's Ensign.
Ensign.
Ensign? No, it's Ensign. That's how you pronounce it. And you want to know how I know this? Don't shoot me. Don't hate me.
You've looked it up.
I remember it from Star Trek.
I was going to say.
Anyway, so Ensign Vanto is what?
Bait.
He's the bait.
He's
so
the bait.
Yeah.
He's the cheese.
He's the cheese on the mouse trap.
On the trap.
He's the fake fish on the hook.
He's the shields are down on the Death Star.
Oh, yeah. It's a trap.
It is a trap.
Like how I did that?
So let's talk about the Thrawn comic real quick. Where, you know, you've read, how many of these comics have you read so
four.
Far? You've read four. You haven't read this one?
No, I have not.
All so right. This is the fifth one, right?
Yeah, and it's based off of the novel.
Yes.
Thrawn that came out about your right before Star Wars Celebration.
Yeah, I was reading it.
I was too. So, all right.
This was a pretty critical part, if I'm remembering correctly. This is pretty close to the end of the book, obviously, because there's only two
six
more issues
out.
It's starting to get good here, I think. Yeah, this is where it starts to stuff starts happening. So, what do you think about that?
I'm not quite sure yet. I'll read it, most likely. I'll read it. But there's also another issue that came out this week.
Oh yeah, what a new comic, huh? Another one?
New comic.
All right, which one is that?
This title's a little bit long, but Darth Vader, Dark Lord of the Sith, issue 17, Burning Seas, part 5.
I dare you to say that 5 times fast.
Ah, I see what you did there.
Yeah,
part 5.
Yeah.
That was good. And this is the description. As the remains of the Mon Cala...
Remnants. See, his dad
remnants.
Moment. Remnants. Just helping you with your reading. Remains. Here we go. As the remnants. Okay.
Remnants of the Mon Cala resistance crumble into the seas. Vader and his inquisitors finally confront the Jedi survivor at its core. The seas will weep.
Wow.
Now, sounds I did read this one.
Okay, so tell us about it.
It was a really good comic. It was interesting.
What's the story? What happens?
Well...
Hold on. If you're planning on reading... let's see, what's the long title? Darth Vader, Dark Lord of the Sith, issue 17, Burning Seas, part 5.
Hey.
If you're planning on reading that, you may want to skip ahead about 5 minutes on the podcast, because here's a spoiler alert. Tell us what happens.
So, it immediately starts up with a Jedi, I forget his name. It's a weird name. But it just says, execute Order 66.
Is he a Jedi we know?
No, it's not a Jedi.
He's a different... He's like a new Jedi that survived Order 66.
It's a Jedi that survived and...
I think he's a Padawan from what I understand, isn't it? He hasn't become a full Jedi Master or Knight.
He wasn't a full Jedi Knight or a Master, but he does have his own type of Padawans, which he calls his disciples.
Okay.
Which is a little weird.
That's okay.
But starts out with execute Order 66 is what it says. Because... three inquisitors confront him with a bunch of like clone troopers.
So they're clones. They're not stormtroopers. They're
no,
real clones.
They're clones.
Okay.
And so he says, execute Order 66. And since inquisitors were past Jedi, they start to shoot the inquisitors.
Did you know that? That the inquisitors used to be, were Jedi?
Yeah, because the Grand Inquisitor was a temple guard, wasn't it?
Well, I knew that, but I didn't know the rest of them. Like all the sisters
all
and brothers
them.
Were Jedi
mm-hmm.
at one point?
I didn't know that.
Wow.
There's a huge group of them that are all... That
so the Inquisitors were all Jedi? That turned evil? So are they full Sith now?
Yes.
No, I don't think that they can be Sith because there can only be two.
They're assassins. They're
more like glorified.
They're like dark force users, or
yeah.
Okay.
Weird.
Interesting.
But and so they start shooting at the Inquisitors. One of the Inquisitors dies by the troopers, and then the Jedi.
So he says, "Execute Order 66," and these clones. The inhibitor chip kicks in, and since he isn't he a Jedi?
Yes.
So how does he not get killed or shot at?
Well, he also has one of his disciples left with him, and she's been training a lot in the Force, and so she helps him leap over the clone troopers, and they escape.
No way.
And forget what his name is, the sixth brother, I think.
Okay.
Dies as well.
Wow.
And only the, like, I think, eighth sister.
Seventh sister? Was the seventh sister there? Because she's in Rebels, right?
No, she wasn't there.
Okay. Anyway, all right. So that happens at the beginning. Okay.
Yeah, it was crazy. And then Darth Vader was sent to get the king of Mon Cala by Tarkin, which they don't have a good relationship.
Tarkin and him don't like each other?
No. And so Darth Vader gets into there, and Vader says, "I have him," and Tarkin says, "Bring him to a window." And he's like, "What are you going to bring, a shuttle?" He's like, "No." And then he starts a bombardment on the city and destroys the city while the king
is in there.
While the king has to look at it.
Oh, so he's watching it then be destroyed. So yes, it's like,
but
so it's kind of like that moment in A New Hope when Leia has to watch the Death Star and Thrawn blow up Alderaan. It's that same type of thing. Tarkin's a bad dude.
Yeah, but also, I found this part really cool, because Vader's in there, and he looks like he has sympathy for the king. Like, he's like, I don't know why Tarkin did this.
Well, this is not long after, obviously, not long after
episode three,
so he's still
new.
He's not fully turned yet.
Well, did he fight on Mon Cala as Anakin?
Yes. There was a. It was
so
a
he threat. Knows and, this. He knows the Mon Cala.
This is one of the sad things. In issue 16, Darth Vader killed one of the people he saved in the Clone Wars.
Ouch.
You remember the planet where we first see Saw Gerrera?
Yeah, Onderon. Well, he's getting ready to sneeze. Oh, yeah, live recording. Okay, sorry. There we go.
Wow. Right. Nice. I'm pretty sure there's the same.
Happy babies. Okay, there we go.
Same planet.
Onderon?
Anakin saves a kid, and it looks like the same planet where they first see Saw Gerrera.
Interesting. Hi, Mom.
Hi, Mom.
I want to interrupt and thank my husband for being the best father out there this Father's Day weekend. I'm blessed to have him as the father of my kids and my husband. Love you.
Wow.
Aww. Aww. It's true. All of it.
Han Solo agrees with you, by the way, dear. He just said it's true. So anyway.
Let's go back to the comic.
Yeah, let's go back to the comic. This is getting...
Han Solo.
Yeah, anyway. Okay, let's go.
As I said, Anakin did just kill one of the people he saved in the Clone Wars. So he does know that, and he feels sympathy, and he doesn't even ignite his lightsaber when the king is standing right next to him. It was weird because you don't see Vader do that much.
So does he battle this Jedi? Is that like a cool lightsaber duel?
Yes,
or?
There is. But this is a really weird part of the comic. This is where it gets weird. Because then he starts battling. And the Jedi starts laughing evilly, like a muhahaha type of thing. And the king's like, wait, you said that my people were going to save the galaxy and help the galaxy restore its order. And he's like, oh, I was telling the truth. And his like eyes go red. And so he's like, not a Jedi.
So this Jedi is like a Sith stuff.
Like a gray Jedi.
Like dark side. Okay, well, hey, Buster came downstairs too. All right.
Hi, buddy.
Okay, hold on. All right, sorry for that. We had a dog that ran into the room. Okay, continue, BB-8.
Okay, so he said that Mon Cala King was like, but you said that my people and my planet would represent the galaxy for it being restored. And he's like, well, I was telling the truth. I foresaw it. He's like, the ships will be seen decades from now. And then decades from that. And we always see the Mon Cal ships in most of the battles.
Wow.
And he said that, and then Vader, I don't know what happened here, but Vader got really angry at the Jedi.
You think?
I wonder if it was like sympathy or something, but he, well, we did see Anakin go to Mon Cala to save one of the kings in the Clone Wars.
In the Clone Wars, yeah.
And okay. So he like gets really angry and kills the Jedi.
Oh, wow.
And
so Execute Order 66 happens in two different spots, apparently.
I guess so. And so then Vader, and then they take the Mon Cal King, and the Mon Cal King says it's not over.
Wow.
And then the comic ends there, basically.
That's amazing. So what did you think about the art in the comic book? Was there anything in it that was like, stood out to you as a frame or anything that was especially
well, cool? Yeah, the Inquisitors, when they execute Order 66... like trying to talk of how to get out of there, and you saw like lightsabers kind of spinning, but you know how it's just 2D and it's still, yeah. But the way they made it, it made it look like it kept spinning.
Oh, that's cool.
It was interesting.
All right, cool. And so, what was your favorite part of the comic?
Probably the beginning, the Execute Order 66 thing. That was
how you turned it against them.
Cool. That's that cool. Was really cool.
That's awesome. Do you have any idea what you think is going to happen next? Did they?
Well, they gave us the cover photo for the next issue.
What's on it?
Tarkin holding a gun, hiding from Vader.
Whoa!
So with Vader's lightsaber ignited, looking for him.
That's all freaky.
That'll be cool.
Well, we know neither of them die, so.
Yes, but they're going to have a battle. That would be cool.
An uneasy alliance, apparently, between Tarkin and Vader going forward. That should be interesting. Sure. Awesome. Well, thanks for that comic book update, BB-8. You're welcome. That's cool. I'm going to turn it over to you, Samuel the Hutt.
All right. So, last weekend was a play at E3 2018. We expected to get some new stuff about Battlefront 2. And things like that, we were not let down by any stretch of the imagination. But then we got something a little more exciting, something we weren't expecting. So we'll talk about that right now on Small Screen Stuff with Samuel the Hutt.
Small Screen Stuff with Samuel the Hutt.
Yes.
That sounded like a sing-along theme for it.
All right, so first off, Star Wars Battlefront 2... EA officially announced that additional Clone Wars era content is coming to Battlefront 2. Starting this fall, hero characters including Anakin Skywalker and Obi-Wan Kenobi, and then a couple of villains such as Sith Lord Count Dooku and General Grievous will enter the game, along with a new location, Geonosis.
Well, that's pretty cool.
And then I think there was a few other characters that may be coming out that they haven't quite
announced yet. So let's talk about the characters that are there, that are coming out. Which one do you prefer? Are you most excited about of those four? Kenobi, Anakin, Dooku, or Grievous?
Well, are we talking from a gameplay standpoint or just a cool, that's a cool character?
Both. Give me gameplay and cool. All
right, so cool, Count Dooku. I wouldn't expect him to be in a game. I just don't see Count Dooku as that sort of character you put into a game. So that's cool for me. Gameplay... General Grievous. I'm excited to try out General Grievous. He's going to add a new, what gamers would say is a meta.
Okay.
Meta is just a different way or a different tactic in playing a game. That's not necessarily part of the game, but it's more like an external strategy.
Hmm.
General Grievous, I think he will change said meta in the game.
Interesting. Now, we were sitting with Alex last week because he was at EA Gameplay or whatever that thing
EA
is.
EA Play,
E3... 2018.
Whatever.
I'm totally confused by all these numbers and letters and things. But anyway, we were sitting with him talking a little bit about this announcement that came out earlier that day. And he was describing a little bit about Grievous. So explain
first. So, first off, one of Grievous's abilities that you can do in the game is that weird spider crawl thing he does.
Oh, that's cool.
When he's in episode 3. That'll be fun to use. That'll probably be used to just cover distance really quickly in a game. And then he said you can either attack with just two lightsabers or with, just two arms or with all four arms.
Whoa, lightsabers. That'll be cool.
So what that's going to do is the two lightsabers, they're faster attacks, but less damage.
Okay.
So I only got two lightsabers.
Yeah, because like two lightsabers is not damaging as it is.
Well, you know what I mean. From a gameplay mechanic.
Okay. Okay.
You know, it's faster, so you can get more attacks out, but each attack won't do as much damage.
Okay.
Then you can have a Grievous with all four arms and four lightsabers, which is going to have slower attacks, but more damage per attack.
Okay.
So it's four, more
twice as damaging, I guess.
Right. Okay. So it's more dependent, like, you know, you would choose which one you want to do, more dependent on your gameplay style. And you just kind of feeling it. So that I'm excited to see. Let's talk about Anakin Skywalker and Obi-Wan Kenobi. I don't think they're getting enough publicity in this. I mean, everyone's talking about General Grievous because that's just
like, yeah, because he's such a cool character.
Yeah. Nate, I want to ask, what do you think about Anakin Skywalker and Obi-Wan being in Battlefront 2?
Didn't expect it. Okay. For reasons of, really, they're not that known for games.
Yeah, they're not.
Okay.
Because Vader is. And okay. Vader, of course, was Anakin Skywalker. And so when everybody thinks of that, they think, oh yeah, they already have part Anakin Skywalker in that, so they don't need to add the original one. But they're adding Obi-Wan and Anakin, so I think Obi-Wan's going to be more of a support.
Now, when I think of the Clone Wars era, and I think about Anakin and Kenobi, I connect them together. I think of them battling together, side by side. So, do you think that the game will have an element where those two are teaming up in some way?
Well, it's hard to say. I think the only way that would happen is if two people have heroes at the same time, and they both choose Anakin, and then one of them chooses Anakin, one of them chooses Obi-Wan. I don't think there may be an aspect where if there's both of them in the field at the same time,
they get provide a bonus to each other or something like that. Health and something.
What I'm more confused about with these two characters is neither of them have super notable abilities. Count Dooku, he's got Force Lightning. That's his thing, you know?
Grievous will have the four arms, yeah, and the spider crawl.
Anakin and Obi-Wan.
Just a Jedi.
I don't know what they can do. Maybe Obi-Wan, like, if he's above somebody, he'll have, like, a high ground bonus or something. He does more damage or something. He's invincible and does more damage.
Do you think that we could see Anakin exert some dark force tendencies at points?
I would hope that he has some abilities, like Rage. Rage is an ability that Darth Vader has in the game. I think, and Kylo, where if you do more damage over time, like, you keep attacking, your power keeps going up the more you attack. I feel like Anakin may have that.
Yoda has
maybe
that.
Force choke. I don't know.
He does use it as
it'd be weird though, because Anakin, I think they're gonna put Anakin on the, you know, good guy side. That's just where you gotta put Anakin.
Well, yeah, he's Anakin.
So that it means in theory you could have Anakin Skywalker facing Darth Vader in the game.
Well, that would be weird.
Yeah.
That would be a little weird.
But that is a possibility. That'd be cool. Game, which I think is kind
of I would love it if there was like these moments where Anakin is, you know, straight light side, good Jedi, all that kind of stuff, and then he's like at the point of being attacked, like surrounded, and all this stuff goes on, and he's like his health drops down to a certain level,
yeah,
where all of a sudden he like flips the script, yeah, and he turns dark side for a second. You see his eyes glow, and he like does some dark force, like, yes, you know, dark side stuff. That would be kind of cool to like allude to the fact that he is Darth Vader.
So they could definitely do that in a lot of video games. Have it where you can have an ability that if your health goes below a certain percentage, you get a bump in your damage or whatever.
Okay.
So they very well could do that with Anakin. They could have it to where it gets, say, below 20% health. He begins to attack faster and more damage.
Or
it
goes dark side.
Goes dark
side. It'd be cool if his eyes turned yellow.
Well, it'd be tough to see, but maybe like cool. Something in his...
maybe they could do like a cutscene, and then his eyes turn yellow, and then he starts attacking. I don't know.
I don't know.
It's probably not. Anyway, I'm not a game player.
It's a cool idea. I like that idea. Yeah, we'll have to see.
BB&A, what were you going to say?
First crossover character. He can be played on light side and dark side with different special abilities.
You think so, huh? So you can play either way.
So you can play either way.
That'd be kind of cool.
But you can't play like Anakin Skywalker can't fight Anakin Skywalker.
Right. You can only have Anakin Skywalker.
Yes, on one side.
So do you guys think that this is going to like be a shot in the arm for Battlefront 2? That people are going to get excited when this comes out? Because I know we just had the Han Solo updates kick in.
Yeah.
with that, and I think some people are playing it because of that. Do you think that Clone Wars is going to help?
Yes.
Increase the popularity of the game again?
I think it will. It's definitely making it a little bit more appealing to Nathan and I.
Awesome.
So okay. Once those characters come out, I'll probably be getting back on Battlefront 2.
Okay, cool.
And then in more exciting news...
Wait, oh, I had one thing I was going to ask. Oh. Is there, if there was any other Clone Wars character that you could add to this, because there's hints that there may be other characters coming mm-hmm. from the Clone Wars. If you could name any one character that you would hope or predict might be coming to Clone Wars, who would it be? BB Nate?
I really definitely want Ahsoka.
Ahsoka.
That would be fun.
I have a strong feeling about it.
I have a good feeling about this. Yeah. And not a bad feeling. I have a really good feeling about this.
I'm trying to think. I wanted to say Savage, but they've already got Maul, so that just...
Asajj Ventress?
Or, I was going to say Savage, sorry.
Okay.
But I feel like Asajj would be cool.
I think it too. But I think Ahsoka is the one that's coming. I hope so.
Yeah.
I think
that'd
be fun. All right, sorry about that.
All right, and then more exciting news... Respawn Entertainment, which I'm going to be honest, I've never heard of this company, but I'm sure they've done lots of big
games. They've done
Titanfall. Well, they're part, they work with EA.
Oh, okay.
They've done Titanfall.
Oh, okay, that's a big game then. So, from Respawn Entertainment comes a brand new action-adventure game, which tells an original Star Wars story around a surviving Padawan set shortly after the events of Star Wars Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith. The game will be releasing holiday 2019. If you sign up for our newsletter, you can be among the first to learn more about it.
Yeah, so that's like on StarWars.com. So right. If you sign up for their newsletter, we took this text from them to describe it. So.
Yeah, so okay. You go to their website.
BB Nate and Sam are looking at me like, we have a newsletter?
We have a newsletter?
Okay.
But yeah, so basically this is going to be a new story game. It won't be Battlefront 2 story. I think this is going to be more along the lines of a Force Unleashed game. Okay. That feel. So it's just a linear story.
Okay.
Long. So it's basically all built around the story. No multiplayer, really, or anything like that.
Which I love. I love that idea. Force Unleashed is one of our favorite Star Wars games.
Yeah. I played that game like 2 or 3 times.
Me too.
Such a fun game.
Good.
So I'm hoping this has a similar feel. I don't want, obviously it can't be just like it, but I'm hoping that the combat feels similar, just these massive, powerful attacks, I mean, you can't be too powerful because you gotta think of playing as a Jedi right now.
And you're a Padawan, I guess, right? Is that what it says?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
So, I would feel that this would be a span over maybe a couple decades.
Yeah, that'd be cool if you watch,
because
what if it's Kanan? What if it's Kanan? Because Caleb Doom. What if it's Caleb Doom and you see him transition all the way to the points of like a New Dawn book?
Yeah.
That type of thing.
Because I think for a gameplay, it'd be fun that you start off as a Padawan. You don't have much abilities. You're kind of struggling to be able to do anything in the game. And then it cutscenes a few years later and you start to have a few more abilities. And it keeps cutscening up a little bit more to where you're a full-blown knight or whatever, and you've got all these abilities and things like that. I think that'd be fun. A little different. Did they do that sort of thing? They didn't do that in The Force Unleashed, really. You were already insanely powerful. I mean, we don't have a lot of information to go
on. Yeah, there's very, very little information at all. BB Nate, what do you think about this game?
I think it could be really fun. If they can pull off the story correctly, then it could be a really popular game. But if it turns into Battlefront, because it's EA, and EA has a bad rap, and all that type of stuff. So, it would be... This is just a little thought that came to my head. This could bring in Force Unleashed canon.
Because, what do you mean?
At the end, we do see this Jedi holding a boy... At the beginning of Force Unleashed, we see this Jedi holding a boy in, which is Starkiller. And he was a Jedi that was not executed by Order 66.
Hmm.
Yeah, and he was really old.
Well, it's a possibility. I don't know why, but I've just got this sneaky suspicion that they're going to make this Caleb Doom, and that it's going to be, we're going to see what happens between that. See, if I read A New Dawn, you guys haven't read that yet, have you?
No,
that book?
So.
Okay, you guys should read it. It's a good book where Hera and Kanan meet, and it's the whole story of the them coming together. It's a really good story. It was like a prequel novel to Star Wars Rebels.
Okay,
really good story. But in there's a prologue in it, and the prologue is where Caleb Doom, who becomes Kanan Jarrus, is with the younglings on Coruscant in the Jedi Temple. Yoda's training them, and Kenobi is training them. Mm-hmm. And Kenobi is teaching them about the Jedi beacon that goes out and can summon the Jedi back to the temple, to Coruscant. And he explains that Caleb Doom asks why you would ever need to use that. And they're like, it's for something that we couldn't foresee, is the idea. And then he's like, would there ever be a... I think the way he words it is there ever a reason where we would tell the Jedi never to come back? And Kenobi couldn't think of a good reason why that would ever happen. But that's what happens in Revenge of the Sith. And it was Caleb Doom's idea that planted that idea in Kenobi to do it. And then the next time we see Kanan in the novel, he's, you know, a jaded... taken on an alias, a jaded former Jedi Padawan who's hiding that he's got any Jedi ability, and he's working on a mining colony and all this kind of stuff. So it would be really fun to bridge the gap between Order 66 when that beacon tells the Jedi not to come back, which is what Caleb knows something really bad has just happened because that was his idea, up to A New Dawn. I think that would be a fun story.
I think this is going to be fun as well because we can see what the typical Jedi would have done while they're running away from the Empire at the time. Because we really don't know what the average Jedi Joe would do.
Jedi Joe?
Yeah.
That's good, man. I like that. Yeah, that's good. Like G.I. Joe, but Jedi Joe. Uh-huh. All right.
That was on purpose, too.
Wow.
I mean, it'd be interesting to see what their next course of actions would be. You know, where do you go to hide from this, you know? Yeah. You know, how do you fit in?
Well, and in the Darth Vader comic, BB-8, that's sort of the general plot line of the Darth Vader comic is these Jedi that are hiding out. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing how the Sith and the Inquisitor, Vader and Emperor Palpatine and the Inquisitors are hunting the Jedi. And we keep seeing new Jedi pop up. We've got that one that looks like he should be from Aquaman or something, if I'm not mistaken. That's in an earlier comic. And then you have Jocasta Nu. And now you have this one that just got killed with the in episode 17, all that. So we're seeing, or episode, did I say episode? I meant issue.
Episode.
Yeah, anyway. Issue 17. We're seeing it from the Sith perspective, from the Empire's perspective.
Yeah.
In this game, we could see it from the Padawan's perspective, or the Jedi's perspective.
And one more final thing I want to say. It's going to be fun to play another game where it's strictly lightsaber combat. Because Battlefront 2, almost all blaster combat.
Yeah, clone Star Troopers,
which is fun,
Rebels,
don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But it's going to be fun to go back to an old, like, not old, but like a classic lightsaber-only combat style.
Pretty cool.
So.
Awesome.
And then, finally, Star Wars Resistance.
Yeah, some new news on that?
Yeah, okay. So basically, I'll just read this real quick. The action will center on a young Resistance pilot called Kazuda Kiyono, who has been recruited to spy on the First Order.
I love it.
Yeah. We also know that the show will feature appearances by Poe Dameron and Phasma. We know this because Oscar Isaac and Gwendolyn Christie have been confirmed as voice actors for the series.
That'll be interesting to have a little Phasma. Maybe we'll get some more story with her.
Yeah. So Dave Filoni is being a little secretive about it, though. He's not releasing...
Dave Filoni be secretive about something in Star Wars?
I know, that's crazy.
I don't know, it's craziness.
But we know that Jim Rash and Bobby Moynihan, I probably butchered
that. Yeah, Saturday Night Live guy. Yeah.
All right. Anyway. Will be portraying quartermasters in charge of dispersing Resistance equipment to the members of the Resistance.
Interesting.
Jim Rash will apparently be the voice of an alien.
That's interesting. Yeah, Ash Crossan broke that on her Entertainment Tonight video series or whatever.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
Interesting.
What do you guys think about that? You excited about Resistance or just a few months away?
Oh, it's only a few months?
Yeah, it comes out it's the fall is what they're saying.
Really?
Yeah.
I'd like to get a little more news before then.
Yeah.
With something, at least A picture, a photo, other than just the Star Wars Resistance symbol, because we don't have a trailer, we don't have a picture of even the main character, we don't know what he looks like.
What do you think?
We don't know if it's a he or a she, do we?
That's, no, I don't think we do.
We don't know anything about this show right now.
Not at all. BB-8, do you think we're going to get a trailer soon, like a teaser or trailer or something like that?
I'm thinking, because I'm trying to figure out big Star Wars things that are happening.
I think we might get a teaser.
A teaser to a teaser?
A trailer teaser?
That's kind of like when Mark Hamill liked to tweet about, that we tweeted out about Mark Hamill liking a tweet.
I think it'll like have a quick clip of just like a ship flying past, and then it'll have like a date, like, I don't know, July 13th or something. Okay. Watch, you know, for the trailer. So just something to like watch.
So we're getting something soon is what you guys hope.
Hope.
Yeah. Hope. You know, that's what Star Wars is all about. Yeah.
Rebellions are built on.
Rebellions are built on hope. Okay.
What do you think? Do you think we're going to get something soon?
I sure hope so. I guess I feel the same way as you guys do.
Yeah. It's a little crazy. We have nothing with this show.
Yeah. So. Awesome. All right. Well, good.
All right.
Yeah. So we wanted to talk a little bit about this. I tweeted out the other day and I asked our on Twitter who people think is the best father in the Star Wars galaxy, since you know, family is such a big deal in Star Wars, and fathers, you know, I am your father and all that kind of stuff, right? So we took to Twitter to find out who you guys thought. We got some responses. Megan Camp, who's one of our Patreon supporters and also your Twitter sister.
Yeah.
We adopted her into our family. She's got a boyfriend now.
Cool.
And I asked if he's coming to Celebration, and she said he's not. I'm a little disappointed because I need to approve of him.
Yeah.
And I haven't met him yet. So she thinks he's a great guy, but of course she does. That's her boyfriend.
Right.
So, you know, I'm a little bit
hesitant.
I'm not sure.
He doesn't even want to go to Celebration.
Yeah, if he doesn't go to Celebration, how great of a guy can he be?
What's the point?
Yeah, I mean, he better have a good reason. Like, you know, he's doing missionary work in Africa or something. You know.
Doctors without borders.
Yeah, he's like Doctors Without Borders or something. But anyway. Megan Camp, her Twitter handle is @Megan. That's M-E-G-H-A-N, Ashley, A-S-H-L-E-E. Megan Ashley said Bail Organa is the best father. What do you think about that, BB Nate?
It's different.
Well, he's a great dad. He's all throughout the prequels.
Yeah.
And he obviously raised Leia to be a strong, independent, courageous, kind, compassionate young lady that ends up becoming a general in the rebellion and resistance. So
that's true.
That's pretty cool. What do you think about that, BB or Samuel? You like that idea?
Yeah, I can see that. He's definitely got some good values. He's a all-around cool guy.
All right. What about this one? Jeffrey Fishbach at Porg Bach. And when I say Bach, I mean like Johann Sebastian Bach. Bach. Like that's the spelling. Bach. At Porg Bach. Said Jango Fett. Boba's daddy. Fett? What do you think about that,
yeah,
Samuel?
Yeah, all right, son. Go ahead and get into a life of crime.
Love you.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. Marissa, I'm gonna say this Twitter handle, and I'm not sure if it's supposed to be pronounced this way because it kind of gives me a bad vibe, but it's @Skankaroo_Maris picked Galen Erso, BB Nate.
Oh yeah.
I hadn't thought about Galen.
Me either.
What do you think about that idea? Jin's dad gives, you know, has to abandon her, put her in touch with Saw Gerrera to raise her. Which Saw Gerrera could be a father figure we could talk about too, but Saw Gerrera or Galen Erso, and then he does this just because he loves Stardust, his daughter, and wants to stop the Death Star from being created.
But it's
also his fault that she dies because he brings her, you know, into that life.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, it sounds good until you start thinking about it.
Yeah.
All right, Andrew Lawson. His Twitter handle is @AndrewBL89. Picked Uncle Owen, Samuel the Hutt, Uncle Owen. What do you think about him as a father figure in Star Wars?
He was trying to do his best. He was trying to keep Luke from being, you know, turning into his father or whatever.
Yeah, so. I think that Uncle Owen is like the consummate father figure. He like is the most realistic father figure from the Star Wars universe.
And he's only an uncle.
But he's like the guy that's like super protective of Luke, wants what's best for Luke, mm-hmm. wants Luke to stay in the family business, doesn't want Luke to go off and get into trouble because that's what he's afraid he's going to do. He's trying to protect him. Mm-hmm. It seems to me a lot like he's the ultimate dad from that. All right, and then Ray, Secret Battle of Pretend Mueller. That's a heck of a Twitter name.
Yeah.
Twitter handle is at Reviews by Ray, R-A-E, Reviews by Ray. So if you're going to think of this as a Ray thing, it's not Ray from the sequel trilogy. It's Ray Sloan from Aftermath and from A New Dawn and from some of the other stories that she's in. And the guy, and since Samuel and BB Nate haven't read any of those books, they'd have no connection at all to who Ray Sloan is. They're looking at me like I'm talking gibberish. Which, if you're listening to this podcast and you know who Ray Sloan is, you know how disappointing that is because she's an awesome character. But anyway, at Reviews by Ray, Kanan Jarrus. What do you guys think about that?
That's just sad.
Why is that sad, BB Nate?
Because his son was born after he died, which is... He never okay. got to see his son.
All right, there's an element. What do you think about the idea of Kanan as a dad?
As a father figure to Ezra.
Okay. And to Sabine.
And Sabine.
He called them kids.
Yeah, him and Hera called him the kids. Yeah.
He's a good
guy. I love that idea, actually.
He's a cool guy.
I love that idea because I think that Kanan functions like a dad. Himself. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of Kanan Jarrus, if you can't tell. All right, so who do you think, BB Nate, who's the best dad in the Star Wars galaxy? We'll get your opinion real quick.
Okay, this is just a joke. This isn't my real thing. So don't.
Please don't say it's a joke and then say me.
No.
Okay.
No.
All right, go for it.
Darth Vader.
Darth Vader, well, I mean, he is like the first of the dads. The father.
Well, he did, in the end, turn and sacrifice himself to save Luke. So.
That's true.
Whoever the father of Anakin is.
Okay. What about you, Samuel?
I mean... I like Kanan.
I do too.
Me too.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, if I wasn't going to pick Kanan, I thought about this one. What about Emperor Palpatine?
He's not a dad.
Sheev Palpatine.
He's not a dad.
What if he was the one that manipulated the midichlorians
to make Anakin?
And he's Anakin's daddy.
That's weird.
That's
been a theory that's been around for a while.
I know. I like it. All right. Well, here, I want to read this article that's on StarWars.com. It's by our friend and Twitter cohort, Brian Young, from Full of Sith podcast. Interestingly enough, I'm going to make sure that's the right name on there because I'm tired and it's at the end of the podcast. Yep, it is. It's Brian Young. I wanted to make sure I got the right last name. All right, Brian Young, he's Full of Sith podcast and a great guy, wrote an article. And I want to just kind of close out the segment and then move into the last bits of the show today with reading this article. Because I think it's a really great way for us to talk about Father's Day. And for us with the podcast, it's all about a dad sharing his love for Star Wars with his kids. And the kids being able to, sons being able to experience Star Wars with their father. I thought that this is one of those that might make you a little misty in your eyes. So it's the title of the article was Being a Star Wars Dad and Sharing the Saga, Passing on What We Have Learned. Star Wars has always been about parents and children, different generations, trying to do better than the last. Star Wars kept me on a path where I wanted to be a better father for my kids. And my love of the saga is such that I want to share it with my kids along with all of the lessons I've learned from my failures over the years. And this is, you're going to agree because I've been saying this too. I mean, that's what The Last Jedi is all about. Maybe that's why it resonated so strongly with me. Brian, I agree. Anyway, but sharing your passion with your kids is tricky, right? At what point are you forcing your love of things onto them?
Right.
My eldest has definitely had Star Wars thrust on him in some way, whether he likes it or not. His name is Anakin. So Brian named his son Anakin.
That's so wrong.
Okay. Well, you know, it's a pretty intense love. All right. It says so on his driver's license, too. Handing his idea over always ends in, really? That's your name? That's so cool. So anyway, it's been a careful balancing act to try not to force my obsessions on him further than in name only. Though I took him to see his first Star Wars film in the theater at 3, Revenge of the Sith, which, according to him, is still his favorite, with Solo, A Star Wars Story now a solid second place.
Hey.
It was his friends that got him into the saga. Huh. I tried to find other things to bond with him over, board games, other movies, and 100 other things, because I wanted him to find his own relationship with Star Wars. He loves Star Wars, though not to the degree that I do. And I think letting him come to that relationship on his own was part of the reason. I tried the same with my middle daughter, who is now 14. And she likes Star Wars only to the extent that Jar Jar and Ahsoka are involved. The thing that makes me happiest as a dad, though, is getting to share my moments in Star Wars that resonate with me emotionally with my kids. It's also been a learning tool for me. Star Wars makes me want to be a better father. I can look at things and say, I can't do that. I need to be less like Vader. Or I should do more of that. I need to be more like Qui-Gon. It's also been a valuable tool as a parent. When Anakin was much younger, it was easy to talk to him about his actions when he threw a tantrum and explain, that's too much of the dark side. Do you want to be on the dark side? It helped establish a language of metaphor with my children and enhanced our rapport. The universal cultural myth of Star Wars was something we both understood, and it became a meeting place for us to see better eye to eye. But I found it's also one of my favorite vehicles for sharing joy with my kids, and sharing joy is something that I think is important for parents. Solo: A Star Wars Story was my youngest daughter's first Star Wars film on the big screen. She had just turned 3, and her only exposure to Star Wars prior to last month was The Phantom Menace. I was hoping to hold off on showing her the rest of the films until she could really digest what they were and what they were about. And since episode 1 is the most kid-friendly of the films, that's what she was able to watch when she asked for Star Wars. That's not quite true, though. She asked for Jar Jar more than Star Wars. Her primary interaction with Star Wars is through toys, though. Her favorite character, her favorites became Chewbacca and the Millennium Falcon. Smart girl. That's my commentary there. In addition to Jar Jar, nobody's perfect. While the Falcon, her name is Valkyrie Amelia Falcon. So that's her name. Wow.
Valkyrie.
That's from Thor.
Yeah.
Valkyrie Amelia Falcon. Her middle name loosely coming from Hans Frater. Once she put together that the ship was representative of her, she fell in love. So making Solo, the Solo movie, her first in theater made a lot of sense. As a parent, getting to share an experience like that with your child is electric. We took Valkyrie to a matinee on Monday, May 28th, still technically the opening weekend. She was so excited to be seeing the movie that she woke up that morning and yelled, "We're seeing the Falcon today!" We arrived at the theater. We bought snacks and brought her favorite milk-like beverages in case the movie wasn't enough to hold her attention. But we were wrong to worry. For Valkyrie, the movie kicked into high gear when Han was thrown into the pit of the beast. "Chewbacca," she shouted with glee, probably too loudly in a crowded theater. And I found myself misty-eyed. The waterworks began for me when a number of factors coalesced. As Han and the crew were walking through the junkyard and Lando introduces the Falcon and John Powell's music swells, Valkyrie, with wide, bright eyes and even wider smile, says, "Hey, that's my name and my ship." To my mind, sharing moments like this, regardless of the movie or moment, is what being a dad is all about. It's our job to instill hope and wonder and awe into our children so that they can make the world in their time a better place. Star Wars is a great way to get there. I agree, Brian. That's
cool.
A lot about that. First Star Wars memory. First time you remember seeing, how did you get introduced to Star Wars? You guys have any recollection of it?
I mean, all I can really remember is the prequels. I distinctly, remember my earliest memories isn't even the movies, which is weird. I distinctly remember two images from two different games we had on the PS2.
Okay.
The Revenge of the Sith game.
Okay.
I remember, one.
Okay.
I think it was on, the planet that General Grievous was on.
Okay, Utapau.
Utapau. I remember it was that. And then the Jedi Naboo Starfighter game. That's what I remember. I would remember that and Lego Star Wars. I would remember spending way too much time playing those.
Okay.
And I think that's what really got me into it. I love, I always get a huge nostalgia trip when I'll play
Lego Star Wars.
Lego Star Wars, yeah. The Complete Saga. I'm like, oh my gosh, I remember this,
that's,
you know?
So cool.
I think that's what I really remember the most.
That's awesome. So. What about you, BB Nate?
Movies. The original trilogy. It's kind of appropriate. We were right after the RV trip. It was Father's Day.
Okay.
And you wanted to watch all the movies for a marathon.
Yeah, we watched all six at the time.
From like
before Force Awakens,
8 a.m. to like 10 p.m. is what we were doing. It was pretty late. And I remember, this is a little weird, but I was just bored. I didn't want to be there, but I'm like, it's Father's Day, so I'll let him do it. But then what got me like really into it was, of course, Rebels. And then I started to really enjoy it. And then I watched Clone Wars and then figured out that the movies are actually like good. Yeah. And
So I introduced you guys to Star Wars, obviously. And we've got a lifelong... connection as a result of it now that you guys are into Star Wars, and I hope that that continues as you grow older. But I'm not going to force it onto you. Just know that I'll be sad a little bit if you guys lose your interest in Star Wars in later in life. But anyway.
What's your earliest memory?
My earliest memory is being a little kid, maybe 3-4 years old, and watching HBO. Yep. We had HBO, and I guess I remember Star Wars being on HBO and watching it as many times during the day as possible. And every time I think about that, I remember sitting on the floor of my living room in my house, the house that my mom still lives in to this day, sitting there in that living room upstairs off the kitchen. You guys know what I'm talking about.
Very vivid image
of what it looked like. Yeah, exactly. I remember this old, nasty green carpet that we had and these terrible couches. And I remember exactly where the TV is. And I remember seeing C-3PO and R2-D2 walking along the sands of Tatooine. And I remember seeing that. That's my first memory of Star Wars. So, yeah, that's it.
So, did you have, lots of the toys?
Yeah, I remember my friends had more of the little action figures than I did. I had a few. I had Boba Fett. Mm-hmm. And I had Luke from Hoth. I remember having that. I remember for my 5th birthday getting the... Now, you guys probably don't know about the... I don't know, maybe you do. But they had the big, almost 18-inch, I think. Almost like Barbie-size dolls.
Yeah. The dolls, yeah. I remember
those. And I got Luke from A New Hope.
Ooh.
With the, Batarang-type thing on his belt and the blue lightsaber and all of that. And I took it to school and somebody stole it from me. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. That was devastating. I don't think I've ever really fully gotten over that. But anything. Yeah, so that's my first memory.
Did you have the big Millennium Falcon toy?
I did not. But I did have a friend from mine from church who was older than me that got it. And I remember we went over to his house for something and I remember playing with it in his room and just being fascinated by it. So anyway.
That's cool.
Yeah, that was it. All right, anything else you guys want to talk about? Hold on.
Anything else?
There we go.
The cast of Solo didn't know what character was making a cameo at the end of the film.
Yeah, I think that's amazing. That came out this week, that none of them knew who that was that at the end of the film. Even Emilia Clarke, who plays Kira.
She didn't even know?
She didn't know who she was talking to until the movie, they saw the full movie.
Really?
Yeah, because they wanted to keep it secret. So I thought that was pretty cool. What about you, Samuel?
Crazy Uncle George.
Yeah, that's what we call George Lucas.
George Lucas wanted to make the sequel trilogy about the midichlorians and the wills.
Yeah. What do you think about that? A whole series of movies where it's like Magic School Bus?
Yeah.
Where you go in to side somebody and see the midichlorians?
I don't like that idea. Because everyone hated the idea about the midichlorians. Once he introduced that in episode 1.
Yeah.
Everyone was like, what's the point of the Force anymore? Right. It's just a power level now.
Yep.
So
power level 3000.
And then there's been some new text come out, new promotional information about Thrawn alliances. We talked a little bit about Thrawn earlier with the comic book, but it sounds to me like the whole storyline is going to center on Batuu, which is where Galaxy's Edge is set, Black Spire Outpost, all that stuff from Disneyland, Disney World's Galaxy's Edge. What do you think about how immersive they're going to make this this story? When you go to Galaxy's Edge, there's so much so that they're building a whole novel that's based in that world. What do you think about that?
I think that you're going to... They said that there's going to be a story revolving around Galaxy's Edge. I think it's going to tie in with Thrawn. Definitely going to be with Thrawn.
That'd be cool.
Probably Thrawn.
You think they have a Thrawn character greet? Meet and greet?
Oh, yes.
That'd be awesome.
That'd be fun.
Yeah. Right.
You see Thrawn and Vader walking around looking for a rebel spy or something like that.
That'd be intimidating.
Going into the cantina.
Okay. All right, let's talk about next week's podcast poll of the week. We put it out already. We've already had over 200 votes on it in one day and about 40 different comments. And so we would really love to get your feedback on this one because I think it's a topic that is bringing some real positivity and some real enjoyment to Star Wars fandom right now in a, a world on Twitter that seems to need a lot more of that. The question is, who first introduced you to Star Wars? As we were thinking about Father's Day, we started asking that question. And so we've got four choices, mom or dad, sibling, friend, or some other way. And then comment below on that. So check us out on Twitter, find that poll, and vote on that. And that's basically it for the day. We encourage you guys to please continue to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Spreaker, Stitcher, Podbean, whatever source that you use for that. Give us a rating. Give us a review. It means the world to us. We got those three this week. We promise to read your review and your rating on our show next week if you do that, and then share this with others. So we're excited. Thank you guys for listening to our podcast every week. If you're a Patreon supporter, we truly appreciate you. We didn't do any Patreon plugs this week because we had some problems with our files that were loaded on here, but we love that. Thank you for supporting us. Go to TatooineSons.com. You can find out how to be a Patreon supporter on there as well. I guess that's it. Anything you guys want to say before we go?
May the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you. And I lost my outro. We'll be right back.